Blog Talk Radio.
just enjoy the presence of the Lord right now. Oh, we love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord.
Welcome to the show. Hopefully you can hear me okay. I'm doing a test call right now, and I think I sound okay. But welcome in today. It is February the 2nd, 2022. Oh, that's so cool. Today is 2-2-2-2. It's 7:16 p.m. Central Standard Time. I am one of your hosts. I'm Tanisha. I'm not sure if Terrence is joining us tonight. He was asleep. He ate and fell asleep. I was trying to wake him up, but I'm not sure if I was successful at that. But if he is still asleep, then I hope he's resting peacefully in the Lord. But I am here, and I'm glad that you're here. Today we've got some freezing rain. It's supposed to be turning into ice and snow by the end of the night into the early morning. And it's been wild to see, like, the grocery stores. I went today to get some last minute items. And I went about 9:15 in the morning and it was a madhouse, like people everywhere. I thought going that early that I was going to avoid crowds. I'm like, oh, I just need a few items. I'm like, I'm sure the panic buyers will be by later. No, everybody was there at 9:15. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I really just need to get a few items. And the lines were just going back into the aisles. So when it was time for me to check out, I saw this line open. You know, they have the little lights on to let you know that they're open. There was only one person in it. Meanwhile, all the other lines are going like to the back of the store. And even the self-checkout lines were completely packed. So I'm like, okay, is she open? Is she just open? Is she about to close? Like, I was like, let me just get in the line and see what's going on. So I got in it, and sure enough, she was open. I don't think people noticed her because she was kind of like where her aisle was kind of tucked off. But I was like, wow, you know, thank you, Lord. And that's what we're going to experience. We're going to experience that. People out here in the Dallas area tend to panic when the weather gets a little chilly. We did have what they called Dalaska last year, which was, you know, where we had the rolling blackouts, and there was quite a bit of chaos that came along with that. But even before we had something like that happen, my entire year, the whole time I've lived out here, and I've been out here since 2005, when the weather gets a little chilly, people start to panic. They panic buy, you'll see the shelves cleaned out at the grocery stores, you'll see the shelves cleaned out at the hardware stores and all that. And they're predicting that the weather's not going to be as bad as it was last year during Dalaska, but they're saying it's going to be icy, the roads are going to be icy for the next couple of days. So most of the school districts out here have closed for tomorrow and Friday. But we're living in a world where, you know, there's always constant states of panic. And you still do what needs to be done. Just like I needed to get some items today. When I first pulled into the store, my first reaction was, nope, I was going to pull in and pull right back off and either go to another store or go home. And the Lord was like, no, it's okay. So I'm like, okay, it's okay. Even though, the parking lot was packed to the gills. But I went in, got what I needed to do. I didn't let that deter me. I was able to get all the items I needed, and I was able to check out quickly, despite it being completely packed, despite the lines being very long. And so this is how we have to operate as a body of Christ, that even what we see doesn't apply to us, because we walk in favor, right? We walk in God's favor. We walk in grace. And so we do what we need to do. Even amongst the chaos, I was even able to get a nice parking spot. When I parked, I was able to get all the items I needed. Two of the items I needed, they only had like three left. So if I would have waited to go to the store at like 10 or 11, they would have been gone. So I was able to park where I needed to park, to get what I needed, everything I needed. There was not one thing on my list that I was not able to get. Check out quickly. And even get out of the parking lot in the store quickly. Because on any given day, getting to and from the store around a certain time is like really packed. Because the area that we live in, they're doing rapid development. So there's a lot of congestion in the area at any given time. It doesn't matter if there's a, ice storm come in or that has nothing to do with it. It's just because of the nature of the growth and the construction that's going on. And even that didn't stop anything. So I was able to kind of be in and out to get the things that I needed. Even though if I would have followed my emotion, I would have been like, nope. I'm going to turn around and went home and then not have things that I wanted. And then I wouldn't have been, when the roads are iced out, I don't drive on ice. And I don't, if it's snowing, I don't mind that, but I don't drive on ice because that's just dangerous. So this is how we have to live as a body of Christ, despite what's going on, despite the panic, right? Despite the clouds, despite, what it looks like. Do what you need to do. Do what you need to do, and God will give you the favor. He will show you grace. I really liked today's scripture of the day on the Bible app. I'm going to read it to you. It's out of 2 Corinthians. It's 2 Corinthians verse 1, 3 through 4. I'm going to read it as the Amplified. It says, blessed, gratefully praised, and adored be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts and encourages us in every trouble so that we will be able to comfort and encourage those who are in any kind of trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So it basically says that we get comfort, right, and encouragement in every trouble. Listen, let's read this again. Let me read it out of, another version, but I'm going to read it again as an Amplified. Blessed, gratefully praised, and adored be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts and encourages us in every trouble so that we will be able to comfort and encourage those who are in any kind of trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Listen, Beck, God comforts us through it all. That's what it's saying. And then we, in turn, can comfort people through it all. There's no, all is all, right? It says every trouble. Doesn't say some trouble. Doesn't say stage one trouble, but stage 10 might have to do something. No, every trouble. And then it says so that we can comfort and encourage those who are in any kind of trouble. So that's still all. There's no limits on that. And so we can be encouraged and comforted by God no matter what. And so we, in turn, can use the same encouragement and comfort for others. And so this is what our walk is. What we experience is not just for us. We experience it for the encouragement of others. It's like me going to the store today. That's just not some... Somebody could say, well, who cares? She just went to the store. Like, what's the big deal? You know? But it's that I saw beyond just going to the store. Because I was able to go to the store. I was able to get the things I needed despite what was going on. What could have looked like some trouble. Okay? And there's levels of trouble, but trouble is trouble. And it's something that nobody wants to experience. Whether it be a little bit of trouble or it be a lot of trouble, it's trouble is trouble. And God comforts and encourages through all trouble. So I saw something troubling when I pulled in. Okay? I saw cars from the front to the back, and I knew that was going to be trouble because that meant crowds and empty shelves. Mm-hmm. And my emotion said, get out of Dodge. But my God said, go on, it'll be okay. That's encouragement. So I said, okay, let me find a parking spot, found one and a good spot. Grabbed a basket, went in, saw all the people. I was like, here we go. Lord, like, no, you know, nope, nope, nope. And just went to all the aisles I knew everything was in, got everything I needed. Everything I needed. And then it was time to check out. I'm like, oh, looking at these lines and the Lord said, keep walking. So I keep walking, and I see the lady. I'm like, okay, I see the checker. She's like, where her aisle was, it was kind of tucked, like right by the self-checkout, but it was like a real skinny aisle. It wasn't like a big aisle like some of the other checkout aisles. It was like a little skinny one. It's kind of tucked off. And I'm like, is that one person in it? And I look up, her light's on. I'm like, okay. And I get in it, and sure enough, she was open. She didn't say, oh, no, I'm closed after her. You know, I've had that happen before. You get all excited. You're like, you know, doing the moonwalk in the middle of the aisle only for the check. And say, oh, no, after her, I'm off. And you're like, dang it, you got to get to the aisle. But no, I got in. You know, I got in. I'm looking, putting my stuff on the conveyor belt. Like, is she going to say something? She didn't. I was in the clear. So, yeah, that was some trouble. But God comforted and encouraged me. I was able to get through that trouble. So I could come use that true life experience to parallel life. Sometimes, yeah, you got to get that extra push. Sometimes doing what you need to do doesn't just, they're not just rolling out the red carpet or so it doesn't look like. But I felt like the red carpet was rolled out for me, even though at first glance I was like, I'm out. Because like I said, from parking to where I got, getting all the stuff I needed and getting out of there free and clear and getting back home free and clear, I felt the grace. And so that's just my experience from today. Everything that we experience, we can use it to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. Everything that we experience, we are to sharpen one another. We are to encourage one another. We are to love on one another. We are to comfort and encourage. That's what this one says. Talks about comfort. Let me read it out of a different version because I thought I would. Let's read it out of King James. That's my sweetheart's favorite. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I feel like I have to say God when I read that version. And I feel like I should have like one of those little ruffle things on my neck. Mm. Tribulation. Mm-mm-mm. This is our job. I was reading before I came on. I was highlighting some things out of, let me pull up my highlights. Because this goes into what I was, what God had me reading. Where's my highlights? Okay, hold on. Okay, I was in Romans. I was in Romans 14. Let's go there. Because this is talking about how we are to love and walk in peace with one another. We shouldn't be fighting about certain things. Let's start with verse one. Let's go there, okay? I'm going to read this out of Amplified. As for the one whose faith is weak, accept him into your fellowship, but not for the purpose of quarreling over his opinions. One man's faith permits him to eat everything, while the weak believer eats only vegetables to avoid eating ritually unclean meat or something previously considered unclean. The one who eats everything is not to look down on the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat must not criticize or pass judgment on the one who eats everything, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? Before his own master, he stands approved or falls out of favor, and he who serves the master, the Lord, will stand for the Lord, is able to make him stand. One person regards one day as better or more important than another, while another regards every day the same as any other. Let everyone be fully convinced, assured, satisfied in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord. He who eats, eats for the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while he who abstains, abstains for the Lord and gives thanks to God. None of us lives for himself, for his own benefit, but for the Lord. And none of us dies for himself, but for the Lord. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So then whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For Christ died and lived again for this reason, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But you, why do you criticize your brother? Or you again, why do you look down on your believing brother or regard him with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, who alone is judge, for it is written in Scripture, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Then let us not criticize one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block or a source of temptation in another believer's way. I know and am convinced as one in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean, ritually defiled, and unholy in itself, but nonetheless, it is unclean to anyone who thinks it is unclean. If your brother is being hurt or offended because of food that you insist on eating, you are no longer walking in love towards him. Do not let what you eat destroy and spiritually harm one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is a good thing for you because of your freedom to choose be spoken of as evil by someone else. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking what one likes, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For the one who serves Christ in this way, recognizing that food choice is secondary, is acceptable to God, and is approved by men. So then, let us pursue with enthusiasm the things which make for peace and the building up of one another, things which lead to to spiritual growth. Do not, for the sake of food, tear down the work of God. All things indeed are ceremonial and clean, but they are wrong for the person who eats and offends another's conscience in the process. It is good to do the right thing and not eat meat or drink wine or do anything that offends your brother and weakens him spiritually. The faith which you have that gives you freedom of choice, have as your own conviction before God. Just keep it between yourself and God, seeking his will. Happy is he who has no reason to condemn himself for what he approves. But he who is uncertain about eating a particular thing is condemned if he eats because he is not acting from faith. Whatever is not faith is sin. Whatever is done with doubt is sinful. Now, you might say, that's a whole lot of scripture. And yes, it was. But it's talking about how we are to treat each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. One person might say, you know what, in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, I don't know which book, but one of them books in the Old Testament said that pork is unclean and you can't eat pork. And that's offensive because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to have clean stuff in your body. And they really believe this. Now, whether you eat pork chops or not is not going to make a determination whether you get into heaven. Now, one might get you there faster, but it doesn't determine salvation. And so if you know that your brother is in his mind, it's wrong to eat pork chops or pork, and then you invite him over for dinner, why would you serve pork chops? That's what the scripture is saying. Why would you do that? Because now you're causing him to stumble because you know that you got the freedom to choose and you got strong faith. But this person in their mind, it's not right. So because it's not right in their mind, it's not right. And that's how God judges. God judges based on what you think, because God knows your thoughts. So let's not let something like pork chops make us fight and quarrel and cause somebody to stumble or to be cause somebody's faith to weaken. We got to start walking in love with one another. Because this scripture says everybody going to stand before God in judgment. Everybody. So you might not like what your brother and sister in Christ is doing. This is talking about how we are as the body of Christ. I'm not talking about fake believers and people who identify as Christians. I'm talking about real believers. This is talking about real believers. Because believers come in all levels. There's ones who just got saved last Wednesday. There's ones who've been serving God for 50 years. There's levels to it. And the one who just got saved last Wednesday is going to look a lot like the one who's never served God a day in their life. But that's the level that they're on. And so we got to walk in love based on what people's levels are and not let petty things become things that are causing us to fight and have division or things that's becoming a hindrance to one's faith. And we need to be comforting and loving and encouraging one another because this is where we're coming to as the body of Christ. God is really about to shift things. And this is something that God has been speaking to me about for years. It's going to come a point where we're going to have to undo ourselves from the world and their systems. Because in order to partake in their systems, we're going to have to form an allegiance with the Antichrist. So God is preparing us now to have our own things, which means we're going to need one another. We're going to need one another. You might not be able to grow no cucumbers. Maybe you got a farm that got animals on it. You know how to milk cows and you have animals for the slaughter for people who do want to eat meat and all that kind of stuff. And you might have to barter. But we really need that unity. We can't just be talking about make us one but be acting nasty and funky towards each other because somebody eat pork chops and the other one don't eat pork chops. It's stupid. And we need to stop. Stop it now. Because we need one another. Even if you don't right this second, things are going to change. Look at the state of our world now. What, 3 years ago, the only people you saw wearing masks were surgeons and nurses. And maybe some people when they had like tuberculosis or something like that. But it wasn't a common thing to see. That's our world now. Probably got a mask hanging on your rearview mirror or one in your glove box. Ladies got one in their purse, a spare one, because that's where we are. It's our world now. Mask and hearing COVID all the time and hearing about vaccines and anti-vax and those who are vaxxed. This is part of our daily things that we hear every day now, where before we didn't hear about stuff like that. Nobody was thinking about that. We meet people, we shook hands. People went to work sick, sneezing and coughing and hacking up lungs, and nobody thought nothing of it. That was just part of what we did because nobody wants to use their PTO or sick time. But things have changed. So today's creature comforts, today's normal ain't going to be tomorrow's normal. And as we progress in this life, as time is expiring, because time is expiring, time is on the time. Time is on time. Time's on the time clock. The way the Lord showed me was like those hourglasses that have the sand in them. I love those things. And I remember when the Lord talked to me about this, and I was fairly new in my walk, but I've never forgotten this conversation, but the Lord told me that time will expire. And I said, I don't understand. And he said, of course you don't understand because you're born into time. So it's all you know. He said, but I created time. Where I am, there's time doesn't exist the way it does. For you, I'm in the eternal, which defies time. I created time. Time is a created thing by me, but time will cease on the earth. Here, I was just like confused. And he told me that at some point, we would literally not have time for certain things because, and he showed it me like an hourglass. We have the last grains of time. So things that were tolerated by God at some point will not be tolerated by God. Not that he doesn't have the grace to do it. It's just that there's not time anymore. But the time is running out. So things will need to get done like that. That's why it's so important, even in this time, to be obedient. Because he literally doesn't have time for disobedience. Doesn't have time for if you have a call and you're just, you know, playing around, doesn't have time for that. Because what you're called to do, it needs to get done. And so we're coming into a time where, one, time is expiring, right? We're in the last days. The Lord told me that when I was first saved. He told me I was an end times prophet. I didn't know what end times meant. I didn't really know quite what a prophet was outside of Nostradamus. But that's what he told me. And we are in the end times where time is literally ending. Things are going to change. And one thing that I can say for certain is we will need each other. We need to walk in love. We need to walk in peace. We need to quit fighting about stupid stuff, petty things, and tearing each other down. And when people make mistakes, we got to quit trying to be like the world and cancel them and go for the jugular. We're not a bunch of spiritual pit bulls when it comes to our fellow brother and sister in Christ. Keep that energy for the devil and the demons. Okay? That's not what we're to do with one another. Because guess what? Every single human being, whether they're serving God or not, will stand before him in judgment. Every single last one of them. And God will deal with who he needs to deal with on this side of eternity and when they face their judgment. There's no such thing as getting away with nothing. That's the biggest scam. That's the biggest crock. That's the biggest lie of mankind, is thinking you can get away with things. You will not get away with anything. That is a lie from the flaming pits of hell. It doesn't exist. It's not real. That is a smokescreen. That is a fairy tale. That is an Easter bunny. It's a tooth fairy. It doesn't exist. It's a tall tale, a whopper, and an Aesop's fable. It is not real. You don't get away with nothing. There's no such thing as getting away. I got away with it. You did not. And you won't. You will stand in judgment before our Lord and Savior about every single thing you did. Stand in judgment. Hear me what I say. So let's not quarrel with our fellow brothers and sisters about petty, stupid things that don't matter on this side of eternity. Leave them to heaven. Turn them over to the Lord. Pray about it. Sometimes God will use you for correction. So nobody's saying don't ever correct. Or if somebody's just complete error, to just let it slide. I'm saying don't make it a fight. I'm not going to sit up there and argue with you, period. That's just not me. Terrence is the same way. which I'm so grateful for. We don't argue because we both have that mentality. I'm not about to argue with you. I'm not built for it. I'm not here for it. Jesus didn't die on the cross for me to do that. So I'll say what I got to say, and if you want to debate or if you have questions, that's different. If you're like, I want to see from your standpoint, then yeah, I'll give you, and you say, well, this is what I'm thinking, but tell me what you're thinking. That's a healthy debate. But you trying to fight and me to know, I'm not doing that. So I assess and I use my discernment to see, are you asking me more questions because you want to fight, or are you asking me more questions because you're open to new information that could cause you to change how you currently look at it? And if I think you just want to fight, you're going to fight by yourself. Because if you're fighting me about something I know for fact, and especially if it's something that's scriptural, you're acting foolish. And my mama always said, when you argue with a fool, now you got two fools arguing. Because you know that they're acting foolish. So if you choose to partake, now you are a fool too. That's foolish. So I don't do it. And as a body of Christ, we don't need to be doing that. We don't need to be arguing and trying to browbeat and all that. That's not what we were called to do. And you don't even see Jesus arguing with people. He just dropped facts and keeps it going. So let's walk in love tonight. I don't know if you can hear Terrence in the background snoring. He came in here to do the show, and he fell right back asleep. Now he in here snoring. So God bless him. He's tired. He had a long day. But what I'm going to do, because there's so many of you tonight, I'm going to... First, I'm going to take down the numbers, and then I'm just going to pray over area code and prefixes tonight, because it's already 7:44. I want to get everybody. There's quite a few of you with your hand up. Hope you enjoyed today's message. As you all know, we never, for the most part, we don't plan what we're going to speak of in advance. And I know Terrence said he had a word that he was going to talk about tonight, but we have to catch him another night because he is in slumberland currently. And sometimes that'll happen. Like, you know, the Lord and I will have our private talks, and he'll say, I want you to talk about that tonight. And I'm like, okay. Okay, so give me a minute. I'm just putting down everybody whose hands up. Area code prefix, I don't miss anybody. For DFW peeps, I hope that you guys are staying nice and warm. And anybody else who's experiencing some of that freezing snow or cold weather, hope everybody stays safe and warm, and that you got everything that you need in your home so that you can just enjoy yourself while you're holed up in the house. I know that's what I plan on doing. We've got all the kids here, so excited about that. And their schools are closed tomorrow and Friday. So we'll just do some fun activities and probably watch some movies, play some games, that kind of thing. I got some cocoa and stuff and marshmallows from the store. So we're just going to make the best of it and make it a fun time with family and the Lord. We'll watch some sermons. Talk about the Lord. It's going to be great. I'm excited about it. Love being able to spend time with my family. And especially when nobody has nowhere to go. Okay. And everybody's home safe. And so I'm almost done, guys. So there's quite a few of you with your hand up tonight. So, okay. Let's get to our first one. 828-989. Lord, we just thank you right now for 828-989. I thank you for them understanding you as the Lion of Judah and what that means, and really seeing you. Let's look up that God is the Lion of Judah, because there's so many titles, right, that the Lord has. And let go. It says the book of Revelation frequently uses the symbol to refer to Jesus, even calling him the lion of the tribe of Judah and depicting him with the majesty and strength of a lion. And so I see you really understanding, seeing him as the lion of Judah and what that means. The strength of God. God is strong. The word of God says, if God be for me, who can be against me? I've lived this. One of my adult children was facing a situation, and a situation that I'd honestly had been in before, where work seemed like work was trying to, somebody at work was trying to do something that could jeopardize the job. And I remember being in a situation like that. Somebody had lied on me at work. I was trying to be helpful. And the person didn't like that I wasn't doing what they wanted me to do, even though the job that I was working at, that was not the department that I was in, we were not able to do it. So I tried to direct them on what to do, where to go, who to speak to, that kind of thing. And they didn't like that I was not doing what they wanted, even though I really couldn't, even if I wanted to do what they wanted, I was not in the capacity. I didn't have the systems. But they ended up filing a complaint on me. Saying that I was insubordinate, not doing my job. And they didn't file the complaint with my manager. They went to like the director of my whole building. And the director of my whole building took this person's word as gospel, because come to find out, this person was also a director. And I remember my manager calling me in to sign the write-up. And I'm like, I'm not signing that because it's not true. And she's like, just sign it. It's not a big deal. Like, it'll go in your file. It goes away after so long, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm not signing that because you're not putting that in my file because it's not based on the truth. And I was like, I want an investigation done because this is not right. It's a lie. And I remember going to the bathroom afterwards and just crying, because the job that I was working at, that person that had me wrote up, that was a really big deal because they were like the head honcho, right? And here I am, the little peon worker, and you've got the head honcho wanting to write me up. And at the time, I thought this was going to be the company that I was going to work for until retirement. I was taking classes to be a maintenance splicing technician and all that kind of stuff. Like, that was my plan. Now, God had other plans, but that was my plan. So in my mind, this write-up was jeopardizing my future and my livelihood and most importantly, my reputation and my good name. And I remember going to the bathroom, and I just cried. And I said, Lord, it's not fair because she lied and she went to the biggest person. And I remember the Lord said, but I'm bigger. And that just did something to me. That scripture came alive at that moment. If God be for me, who could be against me? He's stronger. He's bigger. And you're going to see that. You're going to see that. So, Lord, we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Next caller is 502-548. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for 502-548, for really having the understanding of all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. If I was to paraphrase that scripture, I would say it's all going to be okay. It's going to work itself out, right? A lot of times people say that, and that's something that's like part of like our world now, right? Like things that people say. Oh, it's all going to work itself out. It's all going to be okay. That's not true. That's not true for everybody. The word of God says all things work together for good for those, come on somebody, that love God and are called according to his purpose. That means all things don't work together for good for everybody. But for us believers, as followers of Christ, it does. But that's something that the world comforts one another with. When that sometimes that's true because the person is a believer. Sometimes that's not. Sometimes it is in vain. If you're not serving Christ, it's in vain. Sometimes it's going to work for bad when you're not serving Christ. But for those of us who are serving Christ, it all works together for good. It doesn't matter how bad and how ugly it looks and it gets. It's going to work for your good. And if, like I said, if I was to just take that and paraphrase it, it's going to be all right. And that's what the Lord is saying. It's going to be all right. You're gonna win. It's gonna be all right. We thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that it's gonna be all right. We thank you that you honor your word, that you're not like man that he should lie, and we can stand on your scriptures. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Next caller is 734-672. Lord, we thank you for 734-672. We thank you for the second wind. Like, if you've ever ran track, I come from a family who that was the sport of choice for my family was track. Long legs, endurance runners. And when you run track, sometimes you get really tired. But you get like a second wind. And when that second wind kicks in, I mean, you feel like invincible. You know, some runners call it like runner's high, or, you know, there's all sorts of different names for it. But you get it right after you're like worn out, right? You're just like completely tired. You're exhausted. And then boom, you get that second wind. And when you get it, you feel like, okay, I got this. I could win. And I see you having like going through that, like a second wind where right now you're tired. I've been there like dealing with certain situations where you really just get tired sometimes. But God, right? One word from God can change everything. It will give you that second wind. And when you get it, now you're in beast mode, right? Because before you're dealing with it as you, especially if it's something that's new to you, you're dealing with it as it comes. And then you start to get tired. And when you get tired, you get cranky, right? You get frustrated. You even start to sometimes feel defeated or feel like you're going to be defeated. But when that second wind kicks in, you get in beast mode. I'm about to win this. I'm about to beat this. And that's where I see you. I see you getting that second win and going into beast mode, which is going to, that mentality, mental is everything, right? The mentality changes things. That's why the Word of God talks so much about our thoughts and what we think on, because our mental, it matters. But you're going to get that second win and you're going to get beast mode and you're going to be like, I got this. And guess what? You do. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Next caller is 443-373. Lord, we thank you for 443-373, Father God. I thank you for the gentleness, the tenderness, and them really experiencing your gentleness and your tenderness. Sometimes we need that. Everybody needs that at some point in life. Life could be a little, it could be hard. It could be a little rough sometimes. And we need that gentleness. We need that tenderness sometimes. And I see you really experiencing the gentleness of God and the tenderness of God. I've experienced it. God is such an amazing God. He's such a good God. He's such a loving, kind, graceful God whose mercy endured forever. And I've seen God deal with me gently on things. When I was wrong, I'm talking wrong as the day is long, and the Lord gently and tenderly cradled me and showed me where I was wrong and loved me. It was like, say, a gentleness though to it, and a tenderness. Like, you're wrong, but I love you, and I want you to be on the side of right, and I'm going to help you make this right. Been there. And there's sometimes where you're just like, man, things are rough, and God cradles you in your arms, says, it's okay, but I could be your soft spot. It's all going to work out with me. It's going to be okay. You know, and so you're going to experience really that gentle tenderness of God. So, Lord, we just thank you for your loving gentleness, Father God. We thank you that the safest place to be is in your will. That's the safest place to be. That's our safe place. You are our safe place. You are our refuge and our strength, Father God. And I thank you for them experiencing your gentleness and your tenderness. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next caller is 682-738. Lord, we just thank you right now for 682-738 for experiencing the supernatural, to experiencing the supernatural and seeing things that are sometimes hard to describe, but knowing that it's you, but knowing that it's you, that you are in it, you are through it. That is so amazing. And you will experience things where you're like, what just happened? But you know it's a God thing. But somebody said, well, what happened? And you're like, I don't know. I can't even describe it. I don't know what happened. One minute this was happening, the next minute that was happening. It was nothing but God. And I see you really experiencing the supernatural side of God. Because God is there. When you read the Word of God, a lot of supernatural stuff was going on. That's the God that we serve. And you're really going to walk in that and see that and experience that. And it's so exciting. It is so exciting. So, Lord, we just thank you for that, for the revealing of the supernatural and how you move in the supernatural. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Next caller is 850-966. Lord, we just thank you for 850-966. We thank you for the discernment. I see your level of discernment becoming very, very strong. And let's look up what discernment means, because some people don't quite understand that word, and it's a word that's often used in the body of Christ. So let's give a definition of what does it mean to have discernment. I'm going to go to Merriam-Webster. Listen, I like this. The quality of being able to grasp and comprehend what is obscure. Ooh, what does obscure mean? Let's go there. Okay. Obscure means not well known and not known to most people. Okay, so let's go back to discernment. So it's an act of perceiving or discerning something. Okay, so let's look at the synonyms. Insight, perception, wisdom. And I see your discernment growing stronger. We need insight, especially in today's day. We need wisdom. I can't tell you how many situations God has saved me from, spared me from, because of the discernment that he's provided me with. It is everything. Because some situations, if it's obscure, that means it's not, you can't see it from the naked eye. You can't even see it from the emotional realm, right? Because sometimes it feels right and looks right, but it's not right. And I thank God for discernment. Discernment will give you that insight. With insight so that you can make sound decisions based on truth. Because when there's a lack of discernment, there's a room for deception, right? And deception wouldn't be deception if deception is literally trying to fake you out. That's a deception. That's the best way I can describe deception. You're being made to think something is something that it's not, so that you can make decisions and actions based on what you think and not based on the truth of the matter. And so I see you really growing strong in the discernment realm so that you can make sound decisions and you can make moves based on facts and based on truth. Not what it looks like, not even what it feels like, but what it is. So, Lord, we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Next caller is 832-312. Lord, we just thank you for 832-312. We thank you for the ideas that you provided, the ideas, the creative ideas. It's like sometimes you think that you're just, you know, sometimes we think you're fantasizing about things. And no, God has given you creative ideas. And even if you've not ever walked in the things that you're seeing, God will guide you. God will guide you on what needs to be done. Because the Word of God is clear. So God will lead you into all truths. All. That means there's nothing that God can't lead you into. If God said to open a bakery and you've never opened a bakery, he can lead you into step by step on what you need to do and even link you with the people that you need to be connected to do just that. So I see you really getting a lot of creative ideas and walking in them. All you got to do is just ask God, what do I need to do? That's it. What do I need to do to bring this into fruition? And then walk by faith. Right? Because faith without works is dead. So you can't say you have faith for something, but you don't walk in it too. So just trust God. Thank you, Father God, for opening up the creative realm and for them walking in the ideas and the things that you've provided to them. And we thank you, Father God, you've made them the steward of it. You own the things, but you make them the steward of it. So all they have to do is ask you what needs to be done, and it will be accomplished through you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Next person is 931246. Lord, we thank you right now for 931246. We thank you for the, it's kind of like piggybacking off of what I just prayed over for the for 832312, the faith thing though. Faith without works is dead. And I see you really being called to do the work. Like it's time to do the work. Like you got the faith, but you got to do the work too. It's time. It's time to just do it and trust God, because he's given you the vision, right? One thing I've noticed is that everything starts with vision. Everything. It starts with a vision in our head. And then we mimic in the earth or in our reality what we've seen in our head. But it always starts with a vision. God always gives you a vision, right? When you look at everything in life, even fast food, right? They had a vision for, oh, I knew I wanted a place where people could pull up and be able to get dinner for the family in under 5 minutes or whatever. Like if you ever watched like the guy who created McDonald's story, and there was a vision for it. Anything that created that we are using, seeing, experiencing started off as a vision in somebody's mind. And then they had faith in their vision and then they put it into action. Because faith without works is dead. But when you put in the work, you will now see what you saw. Because you see it in your head, you see it in your mind. You know, that's everything. You know, you could go have a hairstyle and you take it and you might be able to have a picture of it, or sometimes you could just describe it, but you could see things before you see it. That's how faith works. You see it before you see it. And so when you finally see it in the natural, you know if it's right because of how you visualized it in your mind before it was a reality. And so it's time for you now to the things that you're seeing and the things that you're believing for, it's time for you to do the work, to take the step. So, Lord, we thank you for the step. It just starts with one step, right? You can't start walking without putting one foot in front of the other. That's how it starts. So just start and trust God. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Next caller is 754-240. We thank you for 754-240 for the favor round and really understanding the favor and how God will hide things for your benefit. He will hide things so that other people are not able to have the things that he has set aside for you. Like what's for you is for you. What's for you is for you. And I see you really walking and like really experiencing that where you're like, what's going on? Like, how did that happen? Or, you know, people are going to say, well, how is it that you was able to get that? Where somebody else, you know, there's all these people that wanted it. How was you able to get it? Because God hid it. He hid it just for you. And you're going to really see that favor and what it means to really walk in God's favor and how God will hide things for us. So for our benefit, because what's for us is for us. It doesn't matter who all wants it. It's for you. So we just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Next caller here is 480-637. Lord, we just thank you right now for 480-637. I see you, like God speaking to you in the musical, like the musical realm, like using music to speak to you. You know, God just speaks. I remember one time, this was several years ago, when I was playing, I don't know which app or whatever I was using, but a song had came on and the lyrics basically were saying for God to forgive us for the things we've done and left undone. And I remember that lyric hit me so hard. Like, oh my God, forgive us for things left undone? So that means that I didn't do it, but I was supposed to do it? And I, oh man. I remember I ended up playing that song on repeat during my work day, the whole shift. The entire shift, because God was really speaking to me. And it was around that time too that God used one of my mentors, which is Miles Monroe, who's gone on to be with the Lord several years ago. But he was talking about dying empty. And I remember when he was giving that message and talking about what that meant. And it hit me so hard because that song, God had used that song well before to speak to me about, and to really, it grieved me. And so I was like, well, I don't want to leave anything undone. Whatever you want me to do, I want to do it. I don't want to leave anything undone. And that was like the seed, so that by the time I listened to Miles Monroe's message about dying empty, I really, it hit different. It really did. And I really have sincerely prayed that and really want that for my life. That I want to, when I die or if I'm raptured, I want to do it empty. I don't want work that's undone. That was assigned to me. And so I see God really speaking to you through music. Because somebody thought, oh, whatever, that's just a song. No, that song changed my view. God used it to change the way I saw things, even my purpose and my walk in this earth, you know, which is why even when God told me to stop eating meat, not because I think it's ceremonial and unclean or anything like that, but because it, when I don't eat meat, I'm able to hear him more clear. You know, I take that serious because I don't want to leave things undone. I don't want to have had a purpose and allow something that I enjoy to get in the way of being the best of what God has called me to be. I didn't make me. I didn't call me. I didn't purpose me. God did. And so God's going to speak to you through songs, and that's it's impactful. God's word is God's word. Whether it be written in the word of God or spoken to you, God's word is powerful and life-changing. So, Lord, we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Speak, Lord. Speak to your servant. And let it change them. Let it change their life and be impactful for your glory and for their benefit, in Jesus' name. Next caller is 804-218. Lord, we thank you for 804-218. Father God, we thank you for giving understanding. Because we can have knowledge and we can not have understanding. But above all, we should seek understanding. We should understand things. Because you could know something, right? But you don't understand. And the best analogy that God has given me, let's say you were a witness, right? You went to court and you're walking your dog and you see somebody just punch somebody's lights out. And cops come and they have a witness statement and you go to court and you testify and you're like, did you see that person punch that person's lights out? And you're like, yes. And that's what you, that's knowledge. But what if the reason why that person punched somebody's lights out is because they came in there and they robbed them and assaulted their family members and they were trying to get away. And so they called the cops and they told the cops, look, they're trying to get away and I'm protecting my family and my property. So I'm going to punch them to stop them. Now you have understanding. That's probably a bad analogy. But the point is, understanding changes view. Because you can have knowledge of something and view it one way, but understanding changes your view. Even though you didn't see anything different, you just know something different. And so understanding is so important. And it's, and I see you increasing in understanding. Because you could see something, isn't it wild how you could see something, and based on the knowledge that you have, you'll start to form a judgment on it. But if you get more information and you start to have understanding, now you view it different. But you didn't see nothing different. So that's why, like I was talking about earlier, the mind is so important. Because it changes the way you can see in your mind. That's how we have vision, because we can see with our mind, even when our eyes are not seeing something. And so I see you really growing in understanding, because it will change your vision for things. It will change your perception. It will change how you see it, even though you don't re-see it. You just have more depth and understanding. So, Lord, we thank you for that understanding. Give understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Next one is 251-229. Heavenly Father, we thank you for 251-229. We thank you for the full armor and what that means, and putting on the full armor of God. Let's look that up real quick because we have a little time. I remember being a baby in Christ and hearing that term a lot. Saying, but put on the full armor of God. I'm like, what? What is it? But as I grew in my my walk, I understood what this full armor of God. It says the armor of God is in the Bible, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Let's go there. Let's go to Ephesians 6. Ooh, Terrence is calling them. Let's read it out of the Amplified. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from him and be empowered through your union with him and in the power of his boundless might. Put on the full armor of God, for his precepts are like the splendid armor of a heavily armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. Therefore, put on the complete armor of God so that you will be able to successfully resist and stand your ground in the evil day of danger, and having done everything that the crisis demands, to stand firm in your place, fully prepared, immovable, victorious. So stand firm and hold your ground, having tightened the wide band of truth, personal integrity, moral courage around your waist, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, an upright heart, and having strapped on your feet the gospel of peace in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability and the readiness produced by the good news. Above all, lift up the protective shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Come on, somebody. Walk in the full armor. This is how you, this is how you're going to get through it. The full armor of God. So what did we talk about? Let's see if we can find a breakdown. Okay, so we got the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. That's it. That's all. Put on armor. That's you're going to win. And you're going to understand what it means to put on your armor. And you're going to see, looking in hindsight, like, oh, I have my armor on. That's how I got over that. That's how I prevailed against that, because it says, let's go back to verse 11, so Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor of God, for his precepts are like the splendid armor of a heavily armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil. Come on, somebody. This is what the devil does. Schemes, he has strategies and deceits. It's a scam. It's trickery. It's foolery. It's pure deception. It's a smokescreen. It's hoodwinkage. It's bamboozlement. This is what he does. And how do you stand up against that? You got to put on the full armor. I like how it says full armor. Let's compare this to the King James Version, right? Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The whole armor. Not some of it, not a smidge, not just one piece here, piece there, the whole armor. Put it on. This is how you get through the foolishness, the trickery, the schemes, the scams, the lies. This is how. And you're going to understand fully what that means. You're going to see so much victory. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. That's everybody, I believe. I thought I saw another number that I wrote down. I don't know if they hung up. I think they did. But everybody who had their hand up, I got you. Thank you for tuning in tonight. And hopefully you get some peaceful rest. I've been praying for us as a body of Christ. We need good sleep because sleep makes a difference, right? It's how our cells regenerate. It's how our mind regenerates. We need sleep. We need good sleep. Not just any sleep. There's levels of sleep. If you study sleep, there's like levels. There's like shallow sleep where, you know, any little thing you're going to wake up, and then there's like deep sleep. There's to where you, that's where like your body can really replenish. And I'm praying that those of those who have had their sleep disturbed or those who have difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep, I just pray that God blesses you with peaceful sleep. Like my sweetheart back here snoring like a freight train, that you get good, peaceful sleep, restful sleep. Because we need it. We need our minds to be sharp. We need our bodies to be at optimum levels so that we can do the work of God. So call back in at about 8:45. Hit 1. That's going to put you in the queue. Typically on Wednesdays, Randy does a message and then he prays over everybody. But thank you for tuning in. I love you all. Have a good night. And until next time.